Good morning. Do any of you ever watch Joel Osteen? He's one of those televangelists. He's on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., so I guess if you're in the 9 a.m. Mass crowd, which I imagine many of you are, you probably don't get to watch him that often. But whenever I don't have the 9 a.m. Mass, whenever I have the Carmel Mass and then the 11:30, I like to watch him on TV. He's a very good speaker. He falls into heresy every once in a while, but I guess that's to be expected. But he begins every session, he has everyone hold up their Bible, he says, "All right, everyone, do it with me." And they all have this thing that they say, kind of like our Gloria, I guess. They hold up and they say, "This is my Bible. I believe I am what it says I am. And I believe I can do what it says I can do." And they have this whole thing that they go through. And I always thought it was kind of cute. They begin by talking about how great they are, begin by talking about how great God is, but anyways, that's an unfair shot. But I want to begin with that because in this gospel passage today, it talks about what we can do. It talks about what Peter did so astonishingly by walking on the water. This is one of my favorite gospel passages because they're on this boat, it's late in the night, they see the Lord coming to them on the water, walking on the water. And they're not sure if it's him, they think it's a ghost. Peter speaks up and says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to walk on the water." And Peter gets out of the boat, and he actually begins to walk on the water. And that's what it says here. It says, Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. Period, end of sentence. Next sentence. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and he began to sink. But there had to have been, think about this, there had to have been, even for just a split second, it had to have occurred to him, like, "Oh my God, I'm walking on water." Like, there had to have been, even for just a split second, this realization that I am doing that which is ordinarily impossible for a human being to do. When we see our Lord doing it, we can say, well, he's human, but he's also God. But for Peter to get out and to do this. Now again, right afterwards it says that he realized how strong the wind was, he became frightened and he began to sink. And I'm going to come back to that, but I want to begin with this idea of Peter walking on the water because I would be willing to bet that all of us here, hopefully all of us, if not all of us, many or most of us, have had some kind of experience, perhaps not exactly like that, but some kind of experience where we knew. It just confirmed our faith in God. We knew that there was a God. We knew that he loves us, that he's watching out for us. We had some kind of experience like that. And perhaps it may have been recently, perhaps it may have been 20, 30, 40 years ago, and perhaps we could never really articulate it if someone asked us to tell them exactly what happened. We might not be able to, but I hope and pray that all of us have had, and I'd be willing to bet most of us have had, an experience like that. And it may have just been for a brief flashing moment, but where we knew, we were convicted, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that something divine, something extraordinary, something supernatural is going on right now. And in this case for Peter, it was, however brief that may have been, him walking on the water. I mean, imagine. It would have been much different if he had stepped out of the boat, and as soon as he steps out of the boat, you know, splash, right into the water. But that didn't happen. He stepped out of the boat, and he actually began to walk on the water. I mean, as Catholics, we interpret the Bible as it's supposed to be interpreted. Some things we interpret as literal, some things we interpret as metaphorical. We put the Bible in its proper context, and we read it accordingly. So we're not, you know, going to say, well, everything is literally true or everything is just a metaphor. Some things are, some things are not. And in this particular passage, it's very clear the Lord is not speaking metaphorically here. Matthew is not speaking metaphorically here in recounting this story. Matthew is telling us that this is what happened, that Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. He didn't say Peter was, floating 3 feet off the ground because he was elated with joy to see the Lord. I mean, we might say something like that in our present-day speech to not actually mean he was floating 3 feet off the ground, but just, he was just so elated that he was floating. Matthew's not using that here. Matthew is recounting a story here. He's not intending this to be interpreted metaphorically. He's telling us this as fact. Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. And I don't care how you try to scientifically explain this away. People say, well, you can float in the Dead Sea, or, blah, 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 on the salt level, and, but no, that to be walking on the water, that would otherwise be unexplainable, impossible, and the only explanation could be this guy, Jesus, who we're still trying to figure out. Imagine, put yourself in Peter's shoes, still coming to know him, still coming to figure out exactly who and what he is. That must have confirmed Peter's faith for just that split second. He might not be able to articulate, he is human and he is divine and he is the Son of God and the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Peter may not have known all of that and been able to articulate that, but he knew something was going on here when Jesus says, come towards me, walk, and he did it. And he walked on the water. And yet, then he sees how strong the wind was, and he became frightened and began to sink. And in a sense, and then our Lord says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? In a sense, Peter's lack of faith is all the worse because he had experienced God. He had that wow moment that, like I said, I hope many of us have had in our lifetimes. But I think we're a lot like Peter, because despite those same wow moments that we've had in our lifetimes, we will still often doubt the Lord. Despite what we've been through, despite what he has shown us in our lives, despite the experiences we've had of his mercy, his grace, his presence, whatever, despite that, we, and myself included, I preach to myself here as well, we will still occasionally doubt and lack that faith that our Lord is calling us to have. And our Lord forgives us and he picks us up and he saves us as he does here with Peter. But I think this is this gospel today is calling us to faith. Faith is a theological virtue. It's infused at baptism. And we are called throughout our lives to increase, to make acts of faith, and to ask the Lord to increase in us the theological virtue of faith, to continue to help that virtue grow in us, and to make acts of faith, like, for instance, when we come up to receive communion, and the minister of communion holds out the host to us and says, the body of Christ. And despite the fact that to our senses it appears to be simply bread, we nevertheless say, Amen. That is, yes, I believe that it is what you are saying it is, the body of Christ, despite the fact that it looks like bread. That's an act of faith, and that's just one example. But the Lord is calling us today to have that faith and to not be distracted by those other things going on around us. And I want to just tie in the first reading real briefly and point out that when Elijah was going to see the Lord, to experience, the Lord was going to be passing by, it says. There was this strong, heavy wind crushing the rocks, and the Lord was not in that wind, it says. And then after the wind, there was this earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then there was fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. And then finally, there was this tiny whispering sound. We believe in a God who often speaks to us in silence, who will tell us to do something and kind of give us our marching orders, and that might be it. As today when he says, come. And Peter gets out and he walks. And once he's walking on the water, he forgets about the fact that the Lord is right there and has just told him to come, and he gets so distracted by the storms going on around him. I think that happens to us all the time. We can get so distracted by the things that make more noise and exert more force on us and just try to bring us down that we don't hear that tiny whispering sound that we've heard before and we've come to believe in before through our experience. And yet we get distracted and we begin to sink. So today let us ask the Lord to increase the theological virtue of faith in us that we received at our baptism. Let us ask him to increase that virtue of faith in us. Let us look to the example here of Peter, who, as we know later on, ends up living such a faithful life afterwards. Ends up ultimately laying down his life for the Lord, making the ultimate witness, the ultimate sacrifice. That even he who was frightened by the storms of life around him and began to sink. Let's ask the Lord that we may be strengthened in our faith. And just as, you know, we hold up the Bible, this is my Bible, I can do what it says I can do. How about we can do what the Lord says we can do? We can do what the Lord is calling us to do. The Lord is not ever going to call us to do something and then set us up for failure and not give us whatever we need to do it. The Lord is giving us everything we need, and we are called to exercise that faith, to make acts of faith, and to ask the Lord to increase that faith in us.